And all these things are is a petri dish on top of a speaker and a light on top of it, making these cool mandala-like patterns. Now this man made one of them in a 3D design software and took cross sections of it and put different colors to those cross sections. So using a 3D cymatic pattern, this man was able to create a perfect image using sound and light. I want you to sit and really think about this, because this is the code to reality. This is the code to the Matrix, or whatever you want to call it.
It's absolutely covered in fractal antennas. Fractal antennas are utilized in some of the world's most advanced technology. These antennas leverage intricate geometric patterns to enhance the transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves. If we were to take an array of fractal antennas and surround a quartz crystal and pulse frequencies into this array using a signal generator, we can generate frequencies well above the terahertz range. Quartz crystal is a piezoelectric material, meaning it can generate an electric charge when subjected to mechanical stress or pressure. Conversely, when an electric charge is applied to quartz, it undergoes mechanical deformation. These deformations occur at a frequency range of almost 90 million hertz. Many of these ancient crosses used to contain various gemstones and quartz crystals. What did the ancient Ethiopians know?
Good day, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the show. And if you're saying, Alex, you went crazy and you're showing us some black or white magic stuff, the reason why we're even having those Tartaria shows here on Alex Sass Show is to show you how controlled you have been. And you've been controlled by basically who controls your power, who controls your money supply, and the people that also control the information that gives you access to this technology. So this technology all around us, according to researchers who research into Tartaria and Mud Flood, and thus we bring Mel and Renaud back to our show. And of course, we have Glenn Herring with us. And Susan, she never heard of Tartaria. Have you ever heard of Tartaria and the Mud Flood theory before?
Nope. But I'm here to learn.
That video you just watched, is that new information to you? I mean, I know you're into like meditation and everything else. Have you heard anything about like this and energy of crystals and different kind of geometrical shapes and basically nanotechnology in a way?
Yeah, for sure. So I know a lot about crystals and so on, but not in any way other than for healing.
You never heard of Tartaria?
Nope.
Would you like to entertain?
Yes. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Mel, how would you introduce somebody to the concept of Tartaria? And this also goes for our brothers and sisters here who are watching the show right now. If it's your first time tuning in into our show, how would you introduce somebody to the concept of the lost nation of Tartaria?
Yeah, I think it's quite a hard subject to approach because it's so complex and it's got so many different kind of levels. And I'm still myself understanding it better and better all the time, but I still don't know. I don't have all the answers and I don't really know all the details. But the way I see it is that basically the world that we live in is based on older civilization that existed that were way more advanced than we are today on a lot of different levels. And I really believe that love and wellness was more important back in the days, and everything was more based on more a human side of things, and we were all more connected to one and each other. And we can see that a lot through the architecture, and that's the architecture is to me what's fascinating, and history also, especially a lot of the lies that we've been told about the history. I think that the history we've been taught in school has been rewritten to explain certain things and to make us believe certain concepts And what I question myself is that when I look at certain things, like specifically through architectures, big buildings, with the timeline that we're given on, like, you know, people still riding, like, buggies with horses, but they build massive structures in 2-3 years, no problem. But they lived in shacks, and the roads were like dirt roads. So there's just a lot of things to me that don't add up. And Tartaria is one of the concepts of when a past civilization that was basically worldwide, originally based in around what we would say Eastern Russia, China, around that area. But that they went through the whole world, and that they were also more than just Tartaria. I think there was other civilization that have been completely erased from our story of today, but are still surviving when you have the eyes to see, and when you're willing to question certain concepts that you've been taught. When you start digging, that's when it becomes really interesting, because more and more questions.
It has been said that history has been written by the winners. Mm. And the winners is the controllers. These are the ones with the money, the wealth, the power. So that's where your history. So this is why it's history is more of an indoctrination. It's a mind think the way they want you to think. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very weary of that. Always look at things from a different point of view to give yourself a more... a perspective, a larger perspective, so you can discern for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if we believe that, as we're taught today, you know, we come down from monkeys, we've evolved from monkeys, and like we're the smartest that we've ever been now today. Well, that's like super, in a way, not very empowering, in the sense that you're just okay, you're going through that. But when you realize that, you know, society used to be way more evolved. And if you knew that, if you know that we used to be so much more developed and everything was kind of much easier because there was less money involved, there was more trading, it was based more on love versus fear and greed and all of that, then that to me is way more empowering to know that, hey, we can actually go back to something more powerful, more meaningful, more aligned on so many levels. And I think that's going to be what might become very interesting in the next few years, to see how things might go back to certain, like free energy, for example, using the beautiful buildings that we have, like churches and things like that, as the healing devices that they were originally, and going back to something like that versus the hijack of religion, for example, to justify the existence of churches, and saying, oh yeah, you go there to pray, and it's a form of prayer, yes, but like it's there's definitely been a big hijack, I find, on the aspect of religion and how it controls us.
It's funny you mentioned that, because we're talking about vibrations here, right, in terms mm-hmm. of like a Tesla technology, but also we in spiritual world, we talk about raising your vibration. And Susan here will attest to that in terms of, like, you know, your existence. If you live in the low vibrations, you will always find yourself at the low bottom of the society, fighting with your own demons, and then you find yourself fighting with demons of others, right? Mm-hmm. So there is some sort of a religious aspect to this conversation, or spiritual aspect to this conversation as well. And in terms of Tartaria, the way I understand it, Tartaria is a symbolic in the sense that there's possibly were more civilizations before or at the same time as Tartaria in the conflicting or supportive sense, but also everywhere you look around, there's evidence of that throughout the world, specifically here in Montreal. You don't have to go far. Mm-hmm. We went a few weeks ago and we filmed two churches. And actually, I'm very thankful because I haven't seen, I lived mm-hmm. here for almost 30 years and I haven't seen one. So without further ado, let's just go straight to the video that we shot that day. This is the first church, Mel, and mm-hmm. to tell the audience what is this church.
So this first one that we're looking at is Église Saint-Jean-Baptiste. So St. John the Baptist. It's located on Rachel Street in Montreal, close to St. Denis. It's a really, really beautiful building. It's really well known for its amazing acoustics. They do incredible concerts in there. I was looking a bit in the history of this this church, or the history, obviously, that we've been taught. And it's quite an interesting one. Obviously, there was a first, apparently there was a first church built on this location, which of course burned. We love a good fire, don't we? We had a whole show about fires a while back. So in 1898, we have the first fire of the original church that was in this location. And what was interesting talking about fire, actually, this like dark color that we see on the stone is quite interesting. And we were trying to figure out if there might be traces of old fires that remained on the stone, basically. We talked to a gentleman who said it was more linked to potentially pollution and the stone getting older with oxygen.
He also said it's a runoff from the copper roof.
So they rebuilt the church, of course, after a few years. They say the basement took about 2 years and a bit to do. And then in 2 years, they build the main church, the presbytère next to it, and the chapel. So 2 years, we have this this beauty that was built in only 2 years. And we're talking about 1901 to 1903 here. So the early 20th century, which I find quite fascinating.
120-year-old building.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, you know, the technology then and technology now, they can't even make a bridge that lasts 60 years today.
Exact.
And these buildings, through fires and everything, they're still standing there 120 years later.
Yeah.
And you were saying before that today we're supposed to be the most advanced civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we have more people than ever finishing post-secondary education, yet the average IQ level is the lowest it's ever been.
Mm. Dumbing down the society, right? So keeping us in check, keeping us not powerful, like keeping us like, okay, we're just, you know, people obeying the rules of the government, or, you know, just learning and getting what we've been taught, and not questioning the narrative, not questioning the past. The church had a second fire, of course, another fire in 1911. And then they rebuilt it again, part of it, in 2 years this time. So even faster, 1912 to 1914. So also interesting timing. And I was looking into the architect who built the newest one, 1912 to 1914, which is the one that we have today that we've been seeing images of. And what I thought was quite interesting is that this guy was not even formally trained as an architect. He didn't do any apprenticeship anywhere in France or anywhere. He was basically self-taught from his travels. So, you know, yeah, exactly.
Or maybe they call it a secret society, but it's mm-hmm. more known as a society of secrets. Freemasonry had a lot mm-hmm. to do with a lot of this construction. And you'll notice it just on the entry. There's always the pyramid on top.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That's the significance of the numbers 3, 6, and 9.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, I was actually that I had this posed on the
triangle. Yeah,
yeah, what is that? It's on the screen right now.
Yeah, well, it's been used as different symbols, but here you can see it's like a triangle and it's representing a bit like the sun. And there's different theories on...
It's not an old CNI?
Well, but it could definitely be, and it does look like, you know, a circle in the middle. And there's a lot of things, I think, that also have been modified on some of these older buildings to fit in, like, you know, who knows, the cross could have been added also later on to fit in the whole more religious aspect of Christianity, and some details can be modified on these structures.
Well, before the crosses, and we'll show that in the video afterwards.
Yep.
There were different other kind of implements, and they were basically fractal antennas that were set there to vibrate at certain frequency to actually collect energy, right? Mm-hmm. So the buildings apparently were used as energy producers, right? So you could actually harness the energy from the ether
mm-hmm.
using vibration of the environment around you. So basically a nanotechnology.
Yeah.
But that old CNI kind of froze everything off. We filmed the buildings around across the street and you always see this kind of, that's always puts us at, oh, by the way, that, you know, the mud flood theory, right? Can you explain to Susan what that's about? Because she's right now, she's lost, right?
Oh, no, I'm following.
You're following.
Yeah, I'm just biting my words.
Mud flood theory is that a lot of those buildings were basically dig up. There was a certain event that would have happened. And the timeline is, you know, we don't have an exact timeline, but a lot of the buildings would have been buried. And there's the ground would have been basically lower. And a lot of these buildings, there was like kind of a liquefaction effect that happened, like a main big event that happened. And that created a lot of the destruction of potentially these old old societies and old civilizations, basically. And that a lot of these buildings, you know, when we say, oh, this city was founded in this year, well, it was found dead. Like it, the city was already there, but it was buried. All these buildings were buried. And a lot of the things that they say, oh, it's new constructions, well, if it's a new construction, why is there no photos showing the construction? And also then we see these photos, the old photos, archive photos of places like San Francisco or different cities around the world. And there's a lot of dirt everywhere, and the buildings, like sometimes you can see photos where the building goes way down within the earth. So a lot of it would have been digged up. And this is what we talk about when we see, like, it's not built on a straight ground. It's not on a level ground, you know? Wouldn't it make more sense to level the ground when you're building, especially when you're building such a big structure like this?
Yeah, and you have some windows at the lower level
yeah.
that are, okay, you can still see them, and some are below under. The ground level, and they have to dig under mm-hmm. just to expose the window. So from an architect's point of view, it's illogical. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. You know, architects work on logic, right? Mm-hmm. It's all mathematics. Yeah.
But isn't that like a basement, though? Because a lot of basements are underground, and then you have the windows sort of under the ground.
Okay, so how do you explain this, Susan? Look at that video.
Mm-hmm. Here, for example, like what I thought was interesting is like we can see a little brick also through the stone. But it's just the way that, to me, it makes no sense to build a thing where you have like a lot of lower levels on one side, just like why would you have these windows like so low? Yeah, of course you can have sometimes some basements, but some of them it just doesn't really add up, and like it just seems really not a logical way to build certain of those structures. And I find that, you know, there's a lot of things that just really make no sense to me. And which would make more sense would be to me to have more of a like a leveled thing. Why would it be all crooked? Why would one side be like upstairs? Like you need to get to some stairs to get to this door, but then on the side, on the other side, you have to kind of go down, and the other one is like also a different level. So it's just really odd that there's so many different levels in the building. Like could be that, you know, part of it, and who knows how much also there is further down. If we were to dig around some of these buildings, how much more is there below? Like there's photos of, I think it's the Capitol in Washington, where you can see like there's a whole other kind of door, like massive door underground. Like, so it's quite fascinating. I think there's a lot of things that are just quite odd with some of these buildings. And how do you build such a huge structure in only 2 years, you know, like back in the 1912s, 1914?
Like the Empire State Building. Mm. That one time was the tallest building in the world, and it was built in 1 year.
Yeah. Like how do you, like today we would definitely not be able to build that in 1 year, you know, and it's like, that when you start looking into like the backstories and a lot of things, like this guy who's the main architect of the church, Émile Vanier, he did so many things and is like not that long of a life, and he was responsible for so many different contracts all over the province of Quebec, and he built like churches, and he was working in LA for a while, and we're talking about the late 19th century here, and how is this one person responsible for like railway lines, bridges, gas, electric power plants? He was also a teacher, so, and waterworks in like a lot of different cities all around the province. It just seems like there's a lot that's attributed to certain person, and like when you start looking into it, it's like how could he have done all this in this short life? But when you're learning history, you're not really questioning anything, you know, you're just being told, okay, well, these are the dates and this, and you just kind of accept it. And I accepted it for the longest time, you know, and then suddenly after a few years, I've started like just looking a bit more into it and being like, hold on, but this doesn't make sense to me. This doesn't add up at all. So it's quite an interesting subject. And again, like, you know, I don't think there's just one answer to all these questions and all these buildings and all of that. And I think we're still like, there's still a lot of work to be done on trying to figure out what the different timelines might be and when things were. But buildings like this one, like the Saint-Jean-Baptiste Church, and again, today we appreciate it for its acoustics, right? So for its powerful vibrations that you can have inside the church. And I think that's what's important is to go back to the sound healing that can be done through these magnificent structures. That some of them, we call them like cathedrals, or called also, we could refer to them as cathodes, going back to free energy and connecting with the building. And that these buildings were kind of big, like power source in a way on so many levels and sending energy all around, and also having a role of healing because of the resonance within the church. And, you know, I don't know, when you walk into a building like this, when you walk into a church, there's a certain sense of like serenity. Like, it's just so peaceful. It's just so powerful, even though there might not be any sounds, but just the interior is just like the most calming.
Well, you can compare it to a sound room. Let's say you come in into a sound studio that has is very soundproof. You come in, you feel it right away, or you hear it or don't hear it. So there's something to compare it to. But there you come in and you do feel certain feelings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Glenn. But here I want to bring your attention to this to the video again. Mm-hmm. Like this, that black damage. You know, the contractor told us that it's it's either some sort of environmental, or he said it's the copper runoff, but you can clearly look at a pole. Doesn't look stone, looks sort of like a concrete-ish, right? So maybe the church has been fixed somehow. If it's been built, look, it's the things is just like chipping flaking away. And this does not look like stone flake. By the way, I'm not a geologist. I don't know if the stone flakes. So it's probably
And it almost looks like plaster, right?
Like patchwork.
Patchwork.
Yeah. So it's like plaster. So there's a lot of historical things here that we just don't know about. And going back to original statement about writing history, there's a theory there that, the Great Reset that, you know, sort of coming to control the people, and if it comes at the cost of, you know, resetting the population, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. There's a great theory that those great resets happen every like 150 years or so. The history of the world as we know it is only as old as this, and everything else has been sort of made up. Yep. And that's part of the Tartaria research that Mel is doing, and you can watch other shows that are listed here in the description to catch that information here. But as you can tell, it's first of all, the structure, look at the architecture and the design. It's so intricate and so precise and symmetrical. And it didn't take them a long time to build that. Nowadays, it takes them 2 years just to repave Pine Street. Repave the Pine Street. And this building, if it does serve multiple functions, including like some sort of energy capacitor and also distributor, or even a healing center, we don't really know how they were built and by who. That's the bottom line of Tartaria. There's a, you know, like if you're going back to this video of the why just here? We walked around the whole building and there's a hole just on this spot and maybe on the other side of the tower. Oh, why just here? Why not dig out the whole building? Why not create the basement for the whole building? Why just in this spot? And, you know, most people will say, well, it's functionality. Second building that we went to see was even, to me, it took me off guard because I drove this building definitely thousands of times since I lived here. But it's the first time I actually have been inside. And speaking of copper runoff, if you look at the siding here, It's green. This looks like a copper runoff compared to the other church. Mm-hmm. But here, why we're filming this in relation to the other building and the original statement that Mel brought it up, why not level the ground first? And here you can see the actual leveling of the ground. You can see the ground has been leveled before the construction. And even on one side of this building, you see a little dugout with a covered up door of some sort or window. But for the most part, the building is completely exposed and it has been set on a level ground without those hidden below windows, the basement windows, etc. Which is very interesting to me. In the same city, you can see a similar structure. How come they didn't do it for the other church? You know, that seems like counterintuitive to me. So it kind of gives more credence to Mel's original statement around mud flood. There was some kind of either liquefaction or some kind of burial of sort, and we had to dig out those structures and repurpose them. Who built the pyramids? And that's one of the Tartaria thing, is that those structures, not just pyramids, they have similarities throughout the world. But even those Gothic cathedrals that you find throughout the whole world, not just Europe, we find them in Canada, obviously, as you can see. We find them in South America and even Africa, including in Asian countries as well. What is the connection here? What is the connection here? So tell us more about this building, Mel.
Yeah, here we have the St. Patrick's Basilica, really stunning basilica that's in the middle of downtown that's really surviving within a lot of new constructions nowadays. As you can see here, it says that it opened in 1847, built in pretty much exactly 4 years, as the permission was granted on March 12, 1843 to build this church. And the first mass was celebrated on St. Patrick's Day, of course, on March 17, 1947. So built in basically less than 4 years, because by the time you get the permission granted, you don't start right away the same day. So in 4 years, this massive basilica was built. What's also interesting with this one is how it's facing towards the old city, basically, because Montreal, you know, old Montreal is where the city first started. So this one, even though it's on René Lévesque, the facade, the front of the church is actually towards the water. So on René Lévesque, you have the back of the church and the front of it is also quite quite impressive. And this was, as they say, the first Irish Catholic school for the rich families of the Irish communities, in the sense that there was another Irish church that was built, St. Anne's, in what we call Griffintown today, was the second church, which was destroyed. We'll have to talk about that one another time. But St. Patrick's here, look at how massive this structure is. It's really a stunning, stunning church. And again, with two architects, I couldn't find a lot of information on the architects. There was one that was given the contract, who was a priest, a father, Père Félix Martin. But he was supposed to be designing it more, but I don't know, they didn't really like his design. So he kind of only ended up doing the back of the church, and they got this other guy to do the whole floor plan and the body of the church, apparently, as per what I could, the information I could find. But look at the stained glass, the flower. You know, that that's a big reference to the kinematics. If you look at the semantics science of basically how we can visualize sound, you might have seen some of these videos where they have the sand and with the vibration, it's making different shapes. Well, this is a bit, this reminds me of that, and showing the power of the sound of the different vibrations that are done through these buildings. They definitely had, I think, way more power than what we give them today, especially the musical instruments that you find within them called organs. Well, you know, it's called an organ because it was healing your organs. It was healing your body. It was healing you. It was a sound healing. You know, we're made out of water. So if you think about it, like with vibrations, like if you have the good tone, the good frequency, you will, your body will react differently, and it has a very powerful way to be healed as well.
Modern day sound healing, right? We can go to sound healing and hear Montreal mm-hmm. in a number of places. Right here, you're right. And depending, you can search it yourself throughout different cathedrals. They will have a different, like a sort of like a mandala, whatever they call it, right? But if you notice also the symmetry of the building as well as the design of other pieces, like the one above that, sort of has something to do with those fractal antennas that were played the video in the beginning. It's a nanotechnology that through vibration at the edges of that, at the corners of those designs, that's where the energy is collected, and somehow they have used other technology to redirect it, mm-hmm. to store it, to pass it along, etc. And you can tune in to our other shows to see more in detail, but yes.
Yeah, and what I find also interesting talking about those the spires and all of that, one thing that I've noticed in the past few years is how now they're being used to have 5G antennas in a lot of the spires of the churches.
In the steeples, right?
Yeah, in the steeples, you can see a lot of 5G antenna that are really kind of meant to be camouflaged, that you're not supposed to notice, but they're like clearly in a lot of churches. And I wonder how much there's an interesting link between the past technologies of how these were these buildings were used to today.
Looking at this, you notice the doors mm-hmm. and the windows, they're matching the you see the doors in mm-hmm. the bottom, and above the doors you'll also
matching
see the
signs.
The windows, the way they're designed, it's very phallic in its design.
True.
So there's something, I'd read something about that too, that that was for masculinity, importance mm-hmm. of the male phallic. That's like they implemented that into their design a lot, and it seems to be manifest a lot in the Roman Catholic Church also. Mm.
But see how the main entrance is not used to get in the church. You go in through to the side entrance. Again, you come in buildings like this, and you're just a bit in awe, right? Of like, wow, like how was this done? How was it built? And
I was here for 30
years
in Canada. It's my first time walking into this building. I'm so thankful that you presented this opportunity to me. And that's exactly my first reaction as I walk in. My jaw actually dropped to the floor. Like the way it feels in general, like, and also to see the magnificent structure of this. And you're like, who built this? And why and how were they able to achieve this such level? I mean, Glenn, you've been in Montreal. Have you ever been inside of this church?
No, I'm not a big church goer,
but even for historical,
this is
value.
Entertaining here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never been either.
You never been either, right? But it's, you drove by it thousands of times.
Yep.
Yeah.
You didn't even know. Oftentimes, I don't even know if you can go in inside of the church, mm-hmm. right? It's also like that's a whole different aspect, and just the sheer volume of wealth that associated with this construction. And what is wealth? Like, does it even matter in terms of the financial wealth versus the actual purpose it's supposed to have? Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's those being just appropriated to portray that power without actually using it for the right purpose. That's what it seems to me.
Yeah.
Based on your description.
And also now, like, you know, these beautiful buildings, now a lot of them are just like sitting there empty. Like the community, the parish doesn't have the money to renovate them, to take care of them. And they're just kind of dying because, you know, it takes a lot of money to keep a beautiful building like this in good shape. This one's in really good shape because this is like the rich Irish families, you know, that go there. So they got money and they invested in the church. But you have other churches that are also, you know, just stunning, and now they're empty. They're not being used. They're not being walked in. Like, there was maybe two people in there when we were there.
One.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just it's sad to see these beautiful structures that had such a powerful role. Now almost abandoned, now getting transformed into, like, some of them into apartments, into different things, or just being destroyed completely, just you know, taken down. There's one next to my house that's been empty for years and that's just, you know, dying.
If you look at the screen, right, sort of kind of explains the, you know, our original statement that those were the power collectors, right? And the copper antenna above, which was eventually replaced by crosses, right? And you can find a lot of pictures and references where there are not crosses on top of those buildings. And then you had a implement with mercury in it, and then you had some kind of harmonizer, and the onion thing is the resonator, and then you have the frequency, you know, with the creation with the bells.
That's the vibration.
Yeah, and then sort of the rest of the structure with the. With the what are they called, with the poles and you know, other big magnificent is the storage, is the capacitors, right? And you see it throughout the you see it throughout the world. I mean, they all kind of similar in structure, how they build the same here as they are built in Europe. I mean, all like you said, like is it the same architecture? Like, you can take St. Petersburg and Venice, there's more similarities. By the way, they do say that St. Petersburg was the capital of the world back in the day. Like, that's one of the theories. And it wasn't the far northern city, because above St. Petersburg, the weather wasn't as cold. It was actually warmer, so it was a lot more populated. Like, Scandinavia had a lot more cities, even on the northern shore, than it has now in terms of the population. But, I mean, this... The thing is, like, you can still find videos online that will show you the stuff that we're talking about. And, you know, this person here, I forgot his name, talks about Tesla's technology and how it's implemented on the nano level. And, you know, Tesla had an ability to tap into that. He did say this came to him in a dream. Or also, you know, there's some theories that he came from a different planet, like Venus or whatever. I don't know all about that. But there's definitely a lot of people that did actually research into the nanofractal technology. And here's like, if you look at the screen, you can see this is looks like a church ornament. And if it vibrates, like by, let's say, via those church bells, you can see this is how they would... via nanotechnology, through vibration, create this free energy that would collect itself. And they ran a whole bunch of tests. Now, it depends. You can see even the sparks flying off the thing here. The issue here is, and why those structures are so magnificent and then build out of particular materials, is because material important.
Yeah, and the bricks are the conductor also. And you have a lot of buildings that look like they were made out of stone, but the stone is just kind of covering the brick. So the building's actually all made in red bricks, but you have a layer of stone covering that brick, so you don't see all that brick that's actually part of the building. And a lot of the buildings, when you look at them, a lot of them that I've seen in Montreal, like if you look at the front, it's all the nice stones, and then when you go around, you see it's red brick, or you'll see a chimney that's all red brick, or you'll see some red bricks behind the stones sometimes. So the red bricks were a big conductor for the electricity coming from the different top things on the different buildings, whether it's what's now called a church or different other buildings. Like when we were looking at the armories in our last show, you know, these were quite interesting. On how they were also kind of batteries in a way to give the energy to the other buildings surrounding it. So there's a lot to still like unravel, and so many layers to this subject. That's why I find it so fascinating. It's because I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know what happened exactly, but I find there's such a power in not knowing, basically, instead of thinking that we know everything, that we've been taught everything, and that everything that we've learned is that's the only way that things could have been, you know. But when you start questioning, I think that's also a very powerful thing that you can do, is remembering, basically, going back to remembering how powerful we were, how, you know, we did have a better system in place back in the days. And there are discussions also that like the 5G technology could be switched into kind of a free energy. So it could be an interesting thing. Maybe, you know, it's we could work towards that, switching everything into something that's more healing and powerful and giving us free energy versus destroying our brain cells and our bodies with those different vibrations.
Susan, so this is the first time you hear about this, right?
Well, I mean, I've looked at a lot of this, and it's from a different angle, though, right? Because I've always believed that the greatest brand in history is Catholicism, right? It's the greatest brand, and the cross is the greatest icon. So, but it's all a matter of control, isn't it? In the end of the day, and whether they did it through architecture, because architecture is a form of structure, which is controlling a certain society. So I have a friend of mine that's very close to that. She's involved with the building of Hera City, which they're building a city in honor of women. And the architect is a man, and they are building the structure and the city with feminine architecture, which is promoting love and family again and the feminine. Yes, exactly. And the architecture of that city is going to be built around feminine angles, like it's not square, and and there is something powerful about geometry and architecture. That's what it's supposed to be about. But when you look at these churches, they're very masculine, very, very masculine. So I'm fascinated. But in the end of the day, I think back in the day when you bring up that topic, and I really, today's world, we need to get back to simplicity. Mm-hmm. I think it is the information war today. The only demon that we have against us is information overload. And our brains are not taught to process all that information. So it's just a way of controlling people through just shutting down their brain. Mm-hmm. And if we all just learn how to get back to the simplicity of life and not have so much information coming in, there's so much that I don't need to know. I've worked my mind where if information is coming, I know how to tune it out where I'm not processing anymore. I'm listening to you. I'm hearing everything. But there's so much that I just take in and it just goes. And and whatever I absorb. And I think as a humankind, we need to know how to just simplify our life and not want things that we don't want. And just all that noise. Either you learn how to process the noise or stay the heck out of it. Yeah. Right?
You got to slow down.
Yeah, right? Simplicity, right?
So you're in charge of your own reticular activating system. In other words, that screen from the subconscious, which picks up everything, should be called the conscious because it picks up everything. Mm-hmm. But the screen allowing it to not overload the conscious mind. So you're like more in charge of that screen, and you're going to choose what you really want to permeate through the screen.
Correct.
From the subconscious to the conscious without overloading your mind.
Correct. Yeah, because our mind, we're human. We're flawed. We're not a computer. We're not computer. We're not computing like cryptocurrency type computing, you know, the, what do you call that again? Oh my goodness. The system, the cryptocurrency system, anyways, we'll skip that topic for another day. But
quantum computing?
No.
That's a whole other interesting subject there.
Well, that is an interesting, but here's the thing, right? To me, information can make or break you. Mm-hmm. And unprocessed information causes mindset depression, right? So it's just too much information. The only thing we can go out in the world is, that's why social media, it's beautiful if you go out there with a strong magnet of your own. Mm. And you go out there like a tree trunk, but you have to make choices on what you take in and what. But I don't read a lot. I don't. I go out and I connect with people. I listen to the stories. I love stories. Mm. We need to start listening to stories rather than looking at information just for the sake of information, because we're feeding. It's like a glass that you have inside of you and there's a hole in, and it's just become monotonous and not purposeful. So get back to the simple. Connect with people. Listen to each other's stories.
Totally.
I think
a lot of this show seems to be, for a lot of people, it's going to be conspiracy theorists. So today, I identify as a conspiracy theorist. And my pronouns are, I told you so.
Nice one.
Hey, the only conspiracy theories I worry about are my own stupid beliefs that I might like, have to change, okay? I don't really care what the heck's going on in the world. I just worry about my own.
But I think I tend to agree with you, Susan. Like, and I think the reason why we're bringing up this subject of Tartary and mud flood and hidden technology or lost technologies is because the life was much simpler. Mm-hmm. It was a lot more accessible as life to people. People actually lived. Right now, people merely existing in the rat race. And they're chasing the dollar. They're chasing the fame. They're chasing instant gratification. They're chasing sex. Whatever they're chasing, it's not about living. People are not in the moment enjoying themselves. And they also, like you said, they're relying on somebody else's information, secondary or third information. They don't get a chance to stop and experience life for themselves to keep themselves in balance, to heal themselves, etc. And I think the purpose of this show and why we have Mel is to say, like, right now we have this conflicting information saying, well, we are the most advanced civilization. I can argue that right now based on the information that provided to us. Because according to NASA, and Glenn, you're aware of this, and you guys are aware of this, the reason why we haven't been back to the moon, because we lost that technology, and that's the official narrative from the 60s. And it's actually accessible to you. So if we lost the technology from the 60s that, you know, flew us to the moon, and you flew with the power of the table calculator that everybody, not even the Texas Instruments calculator, but just the regular calculator, and now in the hand of your palm, in terms of any kind of smart device that you have capacity of all the world computing that you had in the 60s. And we cannot fly back to the moon. Something does not make sense. So I think conversations like this open up the whole different sort of a set of worms, right? In the sense, like, we're definitely not the most advanced civilization, because if we count in advancement, like in Glenn, and you said it, we advanced ourselves right off the edge of the cliff. Right, I actually posted. Did I post that short? I didn't. I will post that short. But you said it on the last show that we advanced ourselves right off the edge of the cliff just because you have access to all this electronic and internet technology. It doesn't mean you're the most advanced person, because like Glenn said earlier, IQ levels are dropped. And our sperm counts have dropped, and you know, in even just understanding of each other, we're constantly fighting each other with the things that don't really matter at the end, because at the end, we want the same thing. We want merely peaceful existence for all of us, and some sort of advancement, some sort of reassurance that there is a tomorrow, right? But we live in this constant fear that there isn't. And all those buildings being misappropriated into that, into fear mongering. If you don't do as I tell you, you are going to hell. So there's not even a safety in your death, right?
Sure. Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, humankind is here to be seen, heard, and understood. History exists to be heard, seen, and understood. And history is never to be seen and judged. And that's the problem. So I think a lot of judgment in the world has created this shutdown of history. And although I'm not a big historian, but I appreciate history only because I want to see what is it back then that we can bring back now. And that's how I look at it. It's not to say that they're bad, or I mean, it's so sad that we see statues today being taken down because they've represented something. I mean, are you literally erasing history? Is it really? It's so terrible. Whatever it was, we need to learn from, not delete. So
being offended from history, can you imagine?
It's fear or and judgment.
Being judged by something that you said that doesn't resonate with any other person. They hate what you said. Okay, that's their reaction to it. So that's a hate crime? Is this what the government is trying to do, is shut everybody up? You see it happening with the war in the Middle East right now. Obviously, people are taking sides. And in the Western culture, when they seem to take one side, oh, they can be canceled because of that. Well, that right there is an indoctrination system. Both sides are wrong.
That's another show. Yeah. We got to talk about cancel culture.
That's a whole other.
I've done so many talks on in public about cancel culture. It's a very big subject.
So Mel, how do we close the show?
Well, I think we keep asking questions. We keep digging on many levels, and we'll keep bringing you some other subjects to raise questions, basically, for to look into our past so we have a better future, hopefully. Something a bit more full of love and healing, you know, and realignment with our true essence.
Well, thank you for bringing yourself back to the show and talking about Tartaria subject and showing us some of the Montreal greatest architecture that most of you walk by every day without noticing. And Susan, thank you for your insight. And sorry for introducing you for additional information that you don't need now. But now you're aware every time you walk by the church, you'll be like, oh, Tartaria building.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
There's, even though you're not really into it, now it's sort of part of you, want it or not.
You've programmed
just like Glenn
me.
Said, yeah, we just did that.
How dare
that,
you?
Well, that's the part
I
of the
am
program
now brainwashed.
Of Alex, yeah, no, well, that's the part of the program of Alex S. Show. And we're here not to reprogram you, brothers and sisters. We're here to show you that we encourage you to use your own discernment. No matter what information we threw at Susan today, she used her discernment to see if that serves any purpose to her. Mm-hmm. And we urge you to exercise the same. Any information that you get from us, use it to advance yourself. Don't use it to bring yourself down or to bring anybody else down. Glenn, any closing words on this one?
Yeah, we say simple things. We've disconnected from the simple things. One little solution is the biggest compulsion that's it's an epidemic in society. Limit the use of your cell phone. That always brings you somewhere else. You can't concentrate or experience or enjoy where you are in the now. So just limit it. Remember, that's a tool to make your life easier. It wasn't, don't allow it to what was really the purpose of it, was turn the person into the tool.
Yeah.
Okay? You have that strength in you. Bring it out.
Thank you, Glenn, for your ultimate insight. Unless you are watching Alex Sass' show on your personal smart device, don't use it for anything else.
That's an exception. Watch it on
YouTube. Yes, that's right. Thank you, Mel, so much for your deep insights, and thank you for your deep insights as well. And brothers and sisters, you are the greatest. We respect you and we love you, and we'll see you on the next one. Glenn, we make a community worse for everyone.